hope everyone is very enthused and ready to keep going in our 32-round day together. Feel a lot of enthusiasm from the devotees. This microphone needs a new microphone stand. Okay, beautiful. Somebody that knows what they're doing helps. Okay, so I thought this I'd make a very short class. I'll try to do that. So we can get right back into chanting. And I thought of sharing three things. First of all, Shukadeva Goswami, our perfected personality from the first of the processes of Bhakti Kirtanam. He's our achieved spiritual perfection just by speaking topics about Krishna. So here's him speaking about the topic of chanting the holy name. My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting is the most important auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Again, Shukadeva Goswami speaking. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing ritualistic ceremonies. Devotees, continuing, Shukadeva Goswami, devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna do not care at all for material activities which are performed under the three modes of material nature and which bring only misery. Indeed, devotees never give up the lotus feet of Krishna to return to material activities. Otherwise, others, however, who are addicted to Vedic rituals because they have neglected the service of the Lord's lotus feet and are enchanted by lusty desires, sometimes perform acts of atonement. Nevertheless, being incompletely purified, they return to sinful activities again and again. And he then concludes, because just before this section, Yamaraj was speaking to the Yamadutas, and Shukadeva Goswami was narrating that to Maharaj Parikshit, so he concludes, after hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and his name, fame and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and do not look at him again. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita about even a little svalpa, even a little chanting of Krishna's holy name, a little devotional service beginning with chanting of Krishna's holy name is so powerful that it saves one from the greatest fear, maha bhaya. Bhaya means fear, and maha bhaya means seeing the Yamadutas, according to Srila Prabhupada. That's the maha bhaya. Because that means not only they're very fierce looking, but it means going to the hellish planets. Because their duty is to bring the souls, along with their subtle bodies, before Yamaraj for some determination of their next destination. And one who chants, we've been chanting, one who chants is guaranteed, one little devotional service, guaranteed the opportunity to continue devotional service in your next life in the human form, that is, not down to a lower form. Whatever mistakes or sinful activities one may have performed, eradication of those sinful activities is included immediately. Even the kind of chanting that we do, meaning namabhas, not pure, not free from the reactions to our offenses to the holy name or our impure condition of life. That's one of the glories of the chanting of the holy name. And if one appreciates the power and the mercy of the holy name, wow, take shelter of the holy name with great enthusiasm. So we have enthusiasm, but there's always a problem. The but is, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Shikshastakam, knowing all these glories, still I don't have any attraction. I don't have a taste. The second verse of Shikshastakam. Nija Sarva Shaktis. I accept. I know fully. All of, as we discussed yesterday, all of Krishna's potencies are there. His potency of delivering me from this condition of life that I don't like. Although I have some attachment for it, I don't like it. I know these glories of the holy name. Durdaivam Idrisha Mahajani. Nanuraga. No attachment, no attraction. And why is that? Our acharyas explained that that is due to our offenses. So what to do when you have no attraction for that which you know is the means of deliverance because of your offenses? Well, okay, overcome the offenses, got it. Help! Help, because that condition is enduring. Help. And one won't, as we discussed yesterday, one won't feelingly call out, help, if one is infatuated with the opportunity to become an enjoyer in this world. Somehow, this way, that way. Endless series of adjustments to get it to, I become an enjoyer. Yay. But it doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. We have to let go of that idea. So therefore, trinadapi sunichena toror eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That's something, that's a nice verse for, I'm specifically speaking of it this morning, nice verse for you to all take shelter of, any of us to take, myself to take shelter of. This morning, while we chant our 32 plus rounds this morning. And thereafter, because it's not just, it's not an event, it's a process. A cultivation of a mood of trinadapi sunichena, a mood of seeing oneself as so insignificant not low self-esteem, just from the spiritual perspective, so tiny, just a speck. Just a speck in the totality of God's creation, and before Him, tiny, insignificant. But knowing His merciful nature, just as the plea of Shukadeva Goswami, of course, he's saying it to Maharaj Pariksit, who's going to die in 7 days, so it's not just him, it's the audience and us. Please try to understand. Please try to understand what? The chanting of the holy name is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the holy name is the most auspicious activity in this entire universe. And here we are, doing that together. What great fortune. Still, I have no attraction. So, the antidote, there's 4 items, to become very humble. And in that humble position, then you can feelingly call out, chant with feeling. So if you find yourself in a patch of struggling during your chanting today or any time, take shelter of this instruction of Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi, like trin is straw, like straw, lower than straw, more insignificant than a piece of straw. And from that position, help, call out feelingly, Krishna. And when you call out feelingly, Krishna, you may still feel I have no taste. Nothing's happening. It's supposed to, like, you know, it's trying to start a lighter that you move the thing and it doesn't come out. The flame doesn't come out. Just keep going. Krishna. 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 More feeling. Krishna. Keep calling. And the purification is taking place. Krishna hears. Our hearts are very hard. The offenses that we have made are so vast. Krishna, keep calling feelingly with that humble mood. Tororiva sahishnana. More tolerant than a tree. Or I'm going to spend a little bit of time, inspirational time, speaking about Haridas Thakur and his tolerance. Tolerance that we would die if we had to experience what he tolerated. So Krishna doesn't give us more than we can handle. He gives us something we have to tolerate. Or a number of somethings to tolerate. But not more than we can handle. Krishna gives us always service to do, but then empowers us to carry out that service. That's a very nice topic some other time. Krishna gives us, he gives us situations, whether it's when chanting, or because the chanting of the holy name to become free from offenses, it's not just when your hand is in your bead bag and you're sitting down chanting. To become freed from offenses, it's how you lead your life. So, so many examples could be given, but it's a way of life, a life of taking shelter in the holy name. The whole purpose of this festival of the holy name, this time and each time and on, is help us become more fit, more qualified, more convinced, more determined to make our life a life of shelter in the holy name. That's the purpose. So, exemplary in the supermost degree of for chanting of the holy name is the acharya for the chanting of the holy name, Haridas Thakur. And therefore we can expect, and sure enough it's true, the tribulations that he had to undergo were monumental compared to the tribulations we may have to face, although the tribulations we face seem like a mountain sometimes. Krishna, call out feelingly to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. More tolerance, continue to
that position of tolerance. Increase the position of tolerance.
Take shelter of the holy name, it will give you that strength. Krishna will give you the strength to face any obstacle. And amanida, manadena, being ready to offer all respect to others without any expectation of respect in return. Cultivating that mood frees one from offenses. So just on the inspirational side, practically apply that when you chant for the rest of this morning. Enter into the mood, enter into the spirit of that nice instruction. Very powerful. Even in your insignificance, you get lifted, because the instruction is very powerful. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy coming. Grab a hold, take shelter. Very powerful. On the example of Haridas Thakur, both by his own experience and example, and by his teaching, Achar and Prachar, Sanatan Goswami appreciated Haridas Thakur in this way. First, Haridas Thakur was appreciating Sanatan Goswami. This is Vaishnava loving exchanges. Sanatan Goswami, Lord Chaitanya had put him through an enormous tribulation. Enormous tribulation. Because of his exalted quality, when he, Sanatan Goswami, contracted wet itches or weeping sores on his body that was oozing smelly pus because he had drunk water in an improper place and contracted some disease that was like that. Sanatan Goswami was devastated, not because he had a health problem, but because Lord Chaitanya would embrace him out of his affection. And this yucky stuff would get smeared on the body of Lord Chaitanya. He was wishing to not have the body, so he was contemplating suicide just to get rid of the body so it wouldn't be offensive to Lord Chaitanya, or leave and go to Vrindavan, leave Puri, leave Lord Chaitanya's association. Lord Chaitanya checked him and checked him and checked him and stopped him and continued to go and embrace him. And when Lord Chaitanya embraced him, the sores were gone, like a miracle cure. And Haridas Thakur said to Sanatan Goswami, this is the Lord's sense of humor. He arranged the whole thing just to put you in this completely helpless position and then relieve the helpless position, to bring you to the position where you had no shelter but him, and then he relieved the problem. He gave you the strength to endure the problem and then relieve the problem. And that all that was left is that intense shelter and love for Lord Chaitanya. Sanatan Goswami, you're so much favored. You're loved by Lord Chaitanya. And Sanatan Goswami then said to Haridas Thakur, no, you are the most loved by Lord Chaitanya. You're the superlative Vaishnav. Because Lord Chaitanya came to deliver the holy name, and he placed you as the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. You are so dear to Lord Chaitanya. You are perfect, both in achar, what you speak, and what you behave, excuse me, in prachar, what you speak. Achar and prachar, you're perfect. Some are good in this and not in that. Some are good in that and not in this. You're good, you're superlative in both. You are the most dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So here's a prachar example. This is Haridas Thakur is being put in prison for being too influential as a saint, because he was Muslim born chanting Hare Krishna. And in a Muslim area, Muslim people were becoming Krishna chanters. So the Qazi made a big scene and said, you know, we can't allow this to go on, and the king's going to have my head. Arrest him. So he was arrested and brought to prison, awaiting his trial. So while he's in prison, awaiting his trial, many of the other prisoners, they saw Haridas Thakur coming into the prison, and they thought, oh, he's come to deliver us, because here we are in this very unfortunate condition, and a saint is coming here to deliver us. As the prisoners, and I'm going to read from this very wonderful book by Rupa Vilas, summarizing some of these pastimes of Haridas Thakur. As the prisoners offered their obeisances, Haridas Thakur is coming into the prison, they're offering obeisances in prison, ecstatic symptoms manifested in their bodies. When the Thakur observed their devotional sentiments, he smiled in a curious way and then gave them an apparently ambiguous blessing. May you continue to remain in your present condition. And the prisoners thought, what kind of saintly expression is this? We're in prison. And he's saying, may you remain in prison. But he wasn't saying remain in prison. Remain in your present condition. Ecstatic condition. So here's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation. You have not understood the meaning of the blessing I gave, and therefore you are lamenting. I never award inauspicious benedictions. Carefully try to understand as I explain. As your minds are presently fixed on Krishna, let them stay that way forever. Now you can all together constantly chant the names of Krishna and think of Krishna. Here you have no envy or trouble from others. So you can humbly chant and think of Krishna. Otherwise, if you again return to material enjoyment by bad association, you'll forget everything about Krishna. One cannot achieve love for Krishna as long as he is engaged in sense gratification. You should know for certain that Krishna is far away from such persons. The mind that is absorbed in material enjoyment is a great disturbance. Attachment for wife and children are the binding ropes of illusion that lead to death. If, by providence, a fortunate person achieves the association of a devotee, he gives up his attachment for material enjoyment and worships Krishna. In conclusion, the nature of material enjoyment is then one makes the same mistake again and again. Therefore, I did not mean stay in prison, but rather stay free from thoughts of material enjoyment and always chant the name of Hari. Do not even slightly lament that I gave you this blessing in an ambiguous way. I glance mercifully on all living entities. May you have firm devotion for Lord Krishna. Don't worry. I guarantee that when within 2 or 3 days you will be freed, whether you are a householder or a renunciate. Whatever you are, don't forget these instructions at any cost. So it goes on, but by Prachar, Haridas Thakur was teaching. He was busy chanting. He didn't have too much time to go on Sankirtan and book distribution and Harinam. But when there were circumstances, because it was realization, he would share his realization. And he was truly, in their eyes, but truly a qualified personality. You'll hear in a moment. Even the king recognizes. So, by Prachar, take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Now, we spoke yesterday about Shabda. Remember? And within the Bhagavatam, it's also spiritual sound vibration, even maybe talking about so many things, because those things are in relation to Krishna. It's also Shabda, and spoken by the realized, perfected soul, Shukadeva Goswami. Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam has immense potency. So the words, similarly, of Haridas Thakur have potency. The potency to deliver. Just by seeing him in the prison, they were experiencing ecstatic symptoms. This is an evidence of a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. This is Kapila Dev's teaching. Just by seeing that person, you become delivered. As happened with many persons who had Prabhupada's association. Just by being in his presence, just the first time they ever saw him, they didn't even necessarily know who he was. Satyanandan Swami told the story that Prabhupada was sitting in an airport in Sweden, Stockholm, and one businessman went by in a suit, and he saw Prabhupada and he paid obeisances right in the airport. He had never paid obeisances before. Who pays obeisances? What business suited materialistic people do that? Just paid obeisances. Just seeing Prabhupada. Or Malati told us, it's a long story, but the first time, like many of us that were completely devoted to Srila Prabhupada, we had never been in his physical presence, prior to devoting ourselves completely to his service. So she was one of those, and for the first time, she was in San Francisco. Prabhupada was coming to San Francisco. So he came from the airplane, by airplane, and she described that once right here at the temple. She thought, why does Swamiji have to take an airplane? He's mystical. He can just, transport himself however he wants to. Why is he flying in an airplane? But anyway, he came from the airplane, and this was in the day when they didn't have security, so people could receive someone right at the gate. So there was this mob of devotees at the gate, and they could see. They didn't have also the jetway, so people would have to walk down the steps and then come over and up another set of steps into the terminal. So they watched everybody come off the plane, and they didn't see Swamiji come off the plane. They were wondering, maybe Swamiji missed his flight, or maybe he's not coming, maybe he changed his mind. And so they were waiting as people were coming up the steps. And I saw this as a new devotee in Boston. I saw the video. So what I'm describing is Malati's description of what I saw a video of. And the kirtan was going on in the reception area at the gate, and people were coming up the stairs and then turning around to come, into the terminal. So up the stairs from the ground level where the passengers were coming out. And what I saw in the video was all of a sudden the devotees just started like levitating or leaping into the air or just because Prabhupada was coming up the stairs. And the volume and the enthusiasm was... And then you could see the top of Prabhupada's head coming up the stairs and then turning around. And the devotees all fell flat on the ground. Kirtan ended for that moment and just fell flat. What Malati described was, because these are devotees that never had been in Prabhupada's association, they didn't know the etiquette you're supposed to pay obeisances. They just did it spontaneously. And her description was, when she paid obeisances and finished offering prana mantra, she looked up and right in front of her forehead was Prabhupada's feet. And then she looked up and saw Prabhupada, like effulgent, powerful. Haridas Thakur was such a powerful devotee, so his speaking was similarly powerful. So he explained, I didn't mean stay in prison, but stay in this position where you're not involved in sense gratification, you're just taking shelter of the holy name. Stay like that. You'll be freed in a few days. I'm telling you. Be sure of that. May you stay in this consciousness of just taking shelter of the holy name. So then he was taken from the prison by the guards to come before the qazi and the person who had lodged the complaint against him, and many things in the dialogue took place. Finally it was decided that because Haridas Thakur wouldn't stop chanting, the appeal was, look, you're a nice Muslim fellow. Just chant the name found in the Quran. Just give up this name Krishna and take the name in the Quran and everything will be nice. Haridas Thakur said, if there's something wrong that I have done, if there's something, whatever is that, you're the representative of the king, representative of God. It's your duty to give punishment, and I'll accept whatever it is. So let me make a suggestion. If a Hindu becomes a Muslim, and if there's some wrong that they gave up what they were previously and now they become a Muslim, whatever would be the fit punishment, punish me like that too. But I can tell you one thing. If your punishment is you cut my body into a million little pieces, I won't be able to give up chanting. Meaning, chanting comes from the soul. You can't cut the soul. Even you cut the body into a million little pieces. The chanting is coming from the soul. I can't give it up. So you decide whatever you want to do, and I'll accept. So the punishment was to beat him in so many marketplaces. And after the so many marketplaces beating took place, Haridas Thakur was unaffected. He was just continuing to chant. And the beating men said, this has never happened before. The qazi is going to take our lives. He'll think we were just lenient upon you. And we'll be punished. Haridas Thakur said, oh, I didn't know I was causing you difficulty. Then I can give up my life, no problem. So he entered into a state of trance as if he was dead. So then he was brought before the qazi and they were making decision, bury him. He said, and then the other one said, no, don't bury him, because you go to heaven if you get buried. If the body gets buried, you go to heaven. So don't bury him. He shouldn't go to heaven. But treat him like an animal. Just throw the body into the Ganges. Let it go downstream and decay, and who cares? So that was the decision. They took the body to the Ganges, and as they were trying to lift the body, this is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, they couldn't lift the body. And the explanation that's given is that Lord Chaitanya entered into his body, so he became so heavy they couldn't lift him. They tried, 10 men tried to pick up his body and couldn't lift him. And finally, Haridas Thakur became light again, and they threw his body into the Ganges, and the body just floated downstream. They came and reported that to the Qazi. When the sentencing came, the Qazi had said, if you survive this beating, then I'll understand that you're a saint. People say that you're a saint. I'll accept that you're a saint if you survive the beating. So here's two sentences that say a summary of what the rest is I'm going to describe. Haridas Thakur was exhibiting the firm faith and the constant chanting of the holy name in the face of all risks, sacrifices, and hardships are the important teachings of Haridas Thakur out of his overflowing kindness, which he leaves to the world. So that's his achar. He spoke it to the prisoners. Now he's showing by example. The Muslims exhausted themselves in the effort to move the body of Haridas Thakur, but finally, by the Lord's supreme will, he allowed the body of Haridas Thakur to be thrown into the sacred Ganges. Haridas Thakur floated on the pure water of the Ganges for some time, regained his external awareness by the will of the Lord, and came to the shore. He rose from the waters in great transcendental ecstasy and headed for Puliya while loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. He's walking along the banks of the Ganges, calling out Krishna's name when he was thought to be dead. So it's like he's come back from the dead, chanting Krishna's name. The Muslims who witnessed this were transformed and purified, and they gave up their envy and offered obeisances to the transcendental hero. They considered him to be a peer, P-I-R, a powerful saint, and they were all delivered from material bondage. After some time, Haridas, smiling and laughing, met the Nawab, the king of Bengal, who stood before Haridas with folded hands, saying, so the Qazi was afraid the king might get him in trouble. Here's the king. And the king speaking to Haridas. Now I know for certain that you are a powerful saint, Maha Pir. For you are firmly convinced that the Supreme Lord is one. The so-called yogis and gyanis simply speak big words, but you have actually attained perfection. Oh, sir, I have personally come to meet you. Therefore, please forgive all my offenses. You are equal to everyone, both friend and enemy, but there is no one in the three worlds who can understand you. You are free to go wherever you wish. You may stay here in the cave, in the bank of the Ganges, or wherever you desire. Now you may stay wherever you like and do it whatever you please. And Bhaktisiddhanta comments, he's still puffed up. He's still thinking he has the power to say you can live wherever you like. Because Haridas Thakur can live wherever he likes. Not because the king said so. He's in that stage of consciousness. Haridas also underwent torture and apparent degradation in order to teach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principle of Taror Api Sahishnuna, tolerance. Maybe not today. It's a little hot. Maybe you have to tolerate the heat and humidity and maybe a little something. I don't know what you might have to tolerate. Something in the mind. But you tolerate it. Think of Haridas Thakur teaching us as the Acharya of the Holy Name by extreme radical example. You tolerate the dualities that are going on. And just give exclusive shelter to Krishna's name. Any of the above great souls could have utilized their mystic perfection to escape humiliation and torture, but they accepted such difficulty for the service of the Lord. So, after delivering the Muslims and after delivering the king and the Qazi, he then went to meet with the Brahmanas. After glancing mercifully upon the humbled Muslims, Haridas entered Puli loudly chanting, was greeted by an assembly of Brahmanas. When they saw him, they were filled with happiness, and they began to chant the holy name as Haridas danced in ecstasy. Haridas arrived in this way to benefit the Brahmana community. And if you remember from Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's advent is the great despair that Advaita Acharya and Haridas had, that the Brahmanas even were not chanting Krishna's holy name. They were interested in using their brahminical power and status for developing sense gratification by various means. So in the presence of the Brahmanas, Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, Haridas displayed endless ecstatic transformations, like crying, shivering, laughing, falling unconscious, hair standing on end, and roaring. Then in ecstatic love, Haridas crashed to the ground. Seeing this, the Brahmanas began to float in ecstasy. After a while, Haridas became pacified, and the Brahmanas sat around him. And this is the last part I'm going to read. He then speaks to the Brahmanas. O Brahmanas, please listen. Don't feel sorry for me. I've heard so much blasphemy of the Lord, that is why he punished me. I'm satisfied. For whatever happened to me was for my benefit. The Lord has relieved me of my great offense by awarding me a token punishment. One who hears blasphemy of Lord Vishnu is sent to hell, known as Kumbhipaka. And with my sinful ears, I heard so much blasphemy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has given me such an appropriate punishment so that I may not commit such a sins again in the future. Bhaktisiddhanta claims there's no question of Haridas Thakur being subject to reactions to sins because of his exalted position and his continuous shelter in the holy name. He's speaking like that for their benefit and for our benefit. The crest jewel amongst liberated souls and a chanter of the holy name of Hari is certainly not forced to enjoy the fruits of his activities. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad has described this topic in his Namastaka number 4 as follows. Quote, the seeds of sinful activities that cause rebirth and their fruition are not totally destroyed despite realization of oneness with Brahman through constant meditation. But, O Lord, as soon as your holy name manifests on the tongue, even in the form of namabhas, all seeds of sinful activities are totally uprooted. This is elaborately glorified in the Vedas. So, we have a great opportunity being together on this 32-round day. Make your best effort to focus the holy name, focus your mind on the holy name. Remember Haridas Thakur, remember Srila Prabhupada's nice teachings. Take shelter. We'll have Tulsi placed here in the middle of the floor again. Pray to Tulsi, pray to Kishore Kishori. Take strength from the other devotees who are similarly striving to take exclusive shelter of the holy name, and we'll hear from you later what your experience was. So end there. Nityananda Pran, is he around? He wanted to make some announcements. Anybody know where he is? Huh? He's downstairs. Could you get him? Bring him up. I'll remind everybody, make your sincere best effort to maintain Mona. Soon as we leave here, conventionally there's like chatter as you go to do the take breakfast or whatever you're going to do. You can stay here and not take breakfast right away. But maintain Mona Vrata, silence, until you till we have our, whatever the schedule says, we're going to break and then do some sharing of what your experience is. Be prepared. We'll ask for volunteers what your experience was and what are those resources that gave you strength to carry you forward.
Hare Krishna. So, as I had mentioned in the morning, those of you who have not registered for the festival, please do register at the front desk in the lobby. Your registration will help us, because to put together a festival like this takes financial resources, and when you register, it gives us an idea of how many are there and also helps us financially. So what I understand from the organizers is that we are at least $1,000 short to put together the rest of the event. So that way, any of you, if you're kind enough to step up and either make an additional financial contribution or make sure that you've registered so that we can cover our costs. Because every time if you do a festival and if you're not able to cover our costs, then it gets tighter. So I really humbly request you to please think about stepping up and making a financial contribution and also registering at the front desk. Thank you. I hope we all have a nice 32-round
what
session.
What time is breakfast ready?
Sorry, Matt?
Is it ready now or half an hour or what time?
Breakfast will be ready at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Breakfast is ready at 9 o'clock. So you can continue chanting here and go leisurely to breakfast as you wish, starting at 9 o'clock. Shishi Kishor Kishori Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.